dyslexia. I mean, I didn't know that everyone didn't learn to read with pictures. I was in third grade before I really was able to read, and I couldn't, the words were just confusing. And I remember the word book had two I's and bookends on either side, and look had the two I's in it. And then this big word that I could never get was squirrel. And I saw the squirrel's tail of the S. And saw had a W in it. So every single word had a picture for me. And then I finally got with the phonics of it, and it's sort of ironic now that I do a public television show called Between the Lions, where I teach phonics to kids.
How has dyslexia changed what you do professionally?
It's pretty much everything I do, because the gift of it, my particular kind, is that I have very little working memory. I have like RAM in a computer. I have a fine hard drive and a fine processing speed, but I don't have much working memory. So I can't memorize anything, which is fantastic for music, for comedy, for improvisation. It's great, and it works out that something like Prairie Home Companion that's perfect for me. Garrison is constantly improvising. And so when he's throwing out sounds and making up penguins on fire jumping out of airplanes, that's my strength.
Well, you're a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I don't suppose there were many classes there on sound effects.
No, but there was this classic moment that happened there, that I got called on by a finance professor to present the case, and if you can't lay out the case, then you fail the course. I'd been out the night before and didn't prep, and I normally did, but I didn't. And so this finance professor, who was on the board of IBM and just very serious guy, a little thin tie there, Newman, lay out the case. I got up and I held my hands out like fluttered them like wings, and I went and got up and flew around the room and then stuck on the back wall like a fly, and he started stuttering. He did not know where to place that. He had no idea. And he went on and called on someone else, and after class, I peeled myself off the wall and sat down, and after class I went up to him. He said, "Sorry about that. I wasn't prepared. I wish there's some way I could make it up." And he said, "I thought that was a very creative solution." and I actually did pass the course.
You worked at Newsweek after college, and is it true that you told your boss you were going to the men's room, but you accidentally found yourself in an audition at the David Letterman show?
That's exactly right.
What happened?
Well, I said that I knew I had this audition to go on Letterman show. Told my boss was going to the John. Went over there, did an audition, and I do all these things, and I come back to the, and he said, "Come on the show, come back to the office," and I told my boss that I was gonna resign from Newsweek, because I figured if he'll let me come on, then I can do something else besides just be an office worker there. And he looked at me and said, "What happened in the men's room?" Like I'd had some epiphany. I guess I probably did.
You've certainly got an impressive resume. You've worked with Jim Henson and the Muppets, voices in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the Disney series Doug, where you did a couple of characters, Men in Black, and you mentioned your phonics work on the PBS series Between the Lions, where you've won two Emmys for writing. How in the world do you have time to go out on the road and hit 50 cities with Garrison Keillor this summer?
All that might sound impressive, but it's just a guy pulling a scam. It's just a guy honking, And I am doing what I used to do sometimes behind teachers' backs. This is, of all the things I've ever done, working with Garrison is Barbie's dream job. The people that he has, it's a little clockwork, and also sort of a little crucible of musicians that everyone is in just top form, that they can play anything, they just keep getting better. And they turn on a dime. If Garrison says a word differently, if I do a sound effect differently, the music underscore from Rich Dworsky on piano, boom, it changes. That you just don't get that assemblage of people. And so you can make time. I'll miss the vacation with the kids in August, but, this is worth it. And I will, because we're going all over, and especially because we're going to, like Richmond, places that are near and dear to me I love. Anytime we get down south, I love that.
How many sound effects will you make during a typical show?
Well, I never thought about that. I thought about charging by the sound effect, so I could really work them in there. no, I, uh, It really depends. Each show is so different because of the improvisational nature of it. There's sometimes where we might even have done a script before on a tour like this, but Garrison will approach it differently from a different point of view, and then I'll hear a different thing. And so every show is so different.
Do you have a signature sound effect, one that those in the business will say, that's got to be Fred Newman?
I don't know. You know, like I say, no one is more amazed that I do this than I am. You know, because it really is. It's a 12-year-old, you know, swinging his legs on a Coke box, honking, and I get to do that. The people actually, I always want to go like, why are you listening to me? You know, because it's such an odd thing, funny thing to do. You know what? I really never did the water drop behind the teachers. Everyone did the water drop. What I did learn, the most difficult sound, I have a book out called Mouth Sounds, and in there that the most difficult sound, and it's rated that way, is two whistles from the corners of your mouth. If you do that, you can't tell what's coming from. And I used to do that whistle, and the teacher would go over to adjust the steam heat and the windows, and then I started playing It's Crying Time Again, Faithful Out. Could you hear that?
I could indeed.
Well, you can imagine the teacher, when I saw her sending off a memo to the principal saying, the steam heat is playing, it's crying time again, I'm quite sure. And, you know, and she would stop, and everyone in the room would act like we didn't hear it, and she would just sort of look around the room, and she'd hear this like she was the only one hearing this. It was really funny. Though.
I guess depending upon the context of the story, that same radiator leak could be tuning a crystal set radio.
Yeah, there are a lot of multi-purpose sounds, things that sounds come different ways. Well, here's the sound of a Chrysler on a sharp, like the steering does. I'll hear that. That's just distinctive sound. You pick that up. So I'm always listening. But the other way is that you find multiple uses for sounds. One of my best examples is a whistle, like a taxi whistle, that kind of whistle. Well, if you hum with that, you get... You're like at a machine of some sort. Oh, if you take it, that whistle, and vibrate your bottom lip, you can get a loon. Or you can blow through it and get a kind of a plaintive loon. And then if you want a tire stuck in the snow or dirt, down in Georgia, where I came from, it would be mud. Come on, Lewis, keep it rolling. So it's the same sound. You can sort of do variations. You can hum and whistle at the same time.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you in Richmond on Friday. Actor, voice actor, and sound effects man for a Prairie Home Companion when it's on the road, Fred Newman. Fred, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Can you take us out with that freight train that looks like it's coming past the studio?